There we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and today I am honored to be here with Chris Pennock. He is the Vice President of Branch 9 in Minneapolis. And if you know about Branch 9, that is probably because that is the nurturing and beautiful and icy cold home of Tyler Vassar and the Build a Fighting NALC. So, Chris Pennock, say hello.
Hi. Hi, everyone. And Alan, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I'm glad to do it. So let's let our listeners get to know you a little bit. Tell me about how, so you're vice president. You just got elected vice president, right?
That's right. Yep.
Okay, so we're recording this on Martin Luther King Day, January 20th. When do you get sworn in?
Yeah, so right now, I'm kind of doing on-the-job training. But I get sworn in a week from tomorrow, on the 28th.
That's pretty cool. Who is coming to do the swearing in? Do you know?
It's our national business agent,
Okay. Yep.
Patrick
That's cool.
Johnson.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. Okay. So tell us a little bit about how you came to be a branch officer. Like, what's your history within Branch 9?
So my history, I've done step A's for about 5 years, although there was
Formal
a
step A's, right?
formal
Okay.
step A grievances. So I've been a grievance handler. I've been a steward for since 2016. I had one stint as a trustee. So I kind of came up just through the traditional path of getting more involved and eventually got onto onto the ticket of the group that was in power. And then at the end of that run, I decided to run for vice president with Joe Ryan, my mentor. And we had a mini slate, maybe not unlike your own. It was a close election, but we fell short. And so then at the end of that, I found myself no longer doing step A's.
Now, step A's are done at the request of the branch president.
Right.
So this sounds to me like another situation where, oh, you decided to run against me. Well, that's it. Now you're out. Is that pretty much what happened?
And there were a few of us like that. I mean, we had, and that was kind of the start of our group was formal step A grievance handlers that were no longer doing it, that had either quit or had been thrown out for various reasons. And I think that's kind of the story throughout the NALC. I mean, we see that with all the drama on the national level, about you're either with me or you're against me. And then if you're against me, then your duties get stripped, you get thrown out of your position. It's an unfortunate thing.
Oh, it's more than unfortunate. It's a disservice to the members. It's a disservice to the people in your branch, or if you're a steward, informal, it's a disservice to the people at your station.
Exactly. But then over the last few years since that last election, I think we were at a point where maybe a lot of people find themselves in 3 years ago in Branch 9, where we had a leadership that didn't really listen to the membership, that was hostile a lot of the time. We tried doing things on our own. People would bring up ideas at branch meetings and kind of just get shot down. I mean, it reminds me, I've been listening to your podcast with all of the whole saga of your election and kind of weaponizing Robert's rules and the bylaws and all these different things, and just basically the leadership kind of hoping that people just aren't paying attention and that they can kind of just get away with this stuff.
And apparently that's what they've been doing. And that's why the answer that I hear so often is, oh, that's the way we've always done it.
Right,
And yeah, that's probably true. That probably is the way they've always done it.
But then we had this idea. Well, we need to get organized, right? It's like, okay, as we go into these general membership meetings, the people in power, the executive board, they of course have meetings ahead of time to strategize about who's going to do this motion or that motion, and how are things going to going to be laid out. And so once we started meeting and saying like, hey, we want to push the branch in the direction that we think it needs to go, We started seeing some success, and because then we could talk about like, oh, well, oh, they called the question here, and
Right.
but they didn't do it with a
Two-thirds
two-thirds majority.
majority.
So
Yeah.
they had somebody speak against our motion, and then just cut it off. And all these
Right.
different questions about how the rules can be manipulated. I mean, that's just one thing about a rank and file group, is that you can have a chance to talk about these things and to strategize about them.
Right. And to have multiple minds thinking of that
Right.
together. Like at our last meeting, when I realized that, oh my gosh, what our agenda item isn't until the end of the meeting and people are going to have gone home by then, I
Right.
was able to text the other people in our a fledgling caucus and we were able to do something about it. And
Right.
that's so key. Okay. So before we get too far into your run to be vice president, tell me about how you built your caucus.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Now,
it starts.
actually, let me preface that a little bit more because this is really like a big part of why I had you on. Because there
Yeah,
are a
yeah.
lot of people who are in the position that you were in your branch, where the good old boys were running the meetings and shutting people down. And of course, the same thing was happening in my branch. And I know it's happening all around the country because I get messages from people and it's just systemic. And so, this is one of the ways that you can tip that balance of power because the executive board, so often, they're just going to vote as a block. And
Right.
they're going to act as a block, and you're going to have to try to overcome that. And you can create a block of your own, which is this caucus. All right, so tell us a little bit about how that gets formed and how our listeners can go about starting such a group.
Right. And so I mean, just to start off with the word itself, caucus is kind of a strange word. When I was first introduced to it, it's kind of like, well, wait, what does that mean? But a reform caucus, it's kind of a group within a group. But it's like, if you want to make your local better, if you want to get people together to act, getting together and getting organized, before the GMMs, is a great
The general
thing.
membership meetings. Yep.
Yeah, the general membership meetings. Yep. And it also plays a role in our union that I think is important, and that is unmet in a lot of places, which is to have an informal discussion about the union, about the direction of the union, about what's going on, gives people an opportunity to talk about the issues. Most branch meetings are run under Robert's rules, which is great when it comes to deciding questions democratically, but it's not a great system for just talking about the issues themselves and deciding on a path forward. So it's a great way to get rank and file members involved, where they're not intimidated by Robert's rules and the kind of formality of a general
Right.
membership.
Yeah, that will prevent people from wanting to talk in the first place. And,
Right,
you know, the
right.
formality of Robert's rules, like I rise under a point of order or whatever. Like most people don't know how to do that
I
or
call
what
the
that even
question.
means.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so they just stay quiet. But then the other thing that keeps people quiet is plain intimidation,
Right.
that they don't want to be on the wrong end of the president's retaliation or the board leaning down on them or saying the wrong thing, things like that. And so the caucus can make people a lot more comfortable where they can bounce ideas off of each other. Like in my own meeting, when we made the motion to move our appeal up to the front of the meeting, you know, I knew I was already going to be, I had already caused an issue at the beginning of the meeting, and I knew that I was going to be the one speaking in the appeal. And so I'm like, dude, somebody else has got to step up and make this motion because I can't just be all the troublemaker. And
Yes.
somebody else in our caucus is like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll make the motion. And then somebody else in the caucus seconds it. And that's
There you
how you
go.
get things going. Okay, so
Exactly.
what is step one of getting these people together?
Let me just one last thing before I
Yeah,
get to that.
please.
So one other benefit of having these kinds of groups is that it can be an expression of the rank and file, right? We want our
Yes.
union to be democratic. We want to hear from the letter carriers, the members that are doing the work. We want them to be involved. And so this is something that in Build a Fighting NALC, BFN, that I'm a member of, we're talking about this a lot. We're trying to push this idea forward, to make the union as a whole, to kind of to decrease the kind of separateness of, the union officers and, the branch, where there's that kind of separateness between that and the members. That it really, we are the union, and this is one way to, to make that expression.
Right, and kind of balance that balance of power.
Right. And so, yeah, how do you build a reform caucus? Well, yeah, first you need to get a group. And one thing is that the group does not need to be huge. And when you first meet, it might just be even three or four people. And that's fine, because you'll find more people. I mean, as you put yourself out there, as people recognize you as somebody that wants to fight for change, that wants to be a voice for the rank and file, you'll attract people. And then the other thing is that your meetings, they don't have to be massive. You don't have to have 50 people all getting together for your Reform Caucus meetings, right? Because the idea is that you're not necessarily bringing in everyone that might come out to a general membership meeting or out to a rally or whatever kind of action you're doing, but you're bringing the leaders together, right?
Right.
And so then those people will go out and bring one or two or three or four more people to whatever you're trying to do, that they'll go out and spread the ideas, whether it's talking about like open bargaining or the Vote No campaign or the right to strike, that you bring in kind of the leaders and they can disseminate that out. And then that can be part of having a meeting is talking about these different campaigns.
Right. And once it gets going, it kind of builds on itself, as you're saying. Other people see what's going on. They want to be a part of it. And next thing you know, you've got a movement. Is
Right,
that
exactly.
kind of how BFN started, Build a Fighting NALC?
Well, yeah, it started after our defeat in the last Branch 9 elections 3 years ago. Then we pretty quickly decided, well, we gotta do something. We gotta get organized. And so that, I mean, one of the first big turning points in Branch 9 was in the spring of 2023. We had this idea that, well, hey, we're about to get started on contract negotiations. Let's organize for a contract rally. And it was something that people were excited about, that we started talking about in our Reform Caucus, our little group. And we put it out there. We spoke to the then branch president of Branch 9, and we knew that we were going to get a hostile reaction
Right.
from the leadership. They had no interest. Even National had said, nope, we don't want any rallies. It's all just going to be behind closed doors. But we made the decision, no, this is something that we want to do. So we gave them a heads up so that they couldn't say, oh, well, you did this, just you just
Behind your
surprised.
back or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and came up with a motion that nobody was expecting. So we let them know kind of as a courtesy, and it did allow them to kind of marshal their forces. But we also marshaled our forces, and we met with some resistance. And ahead of the meeting, we had a discussion like, well, do we want to do this as a Branch 9 event, or do we want to, because we're meeting so much resistance, or do we want to just splinter off and have it be, the Branch 9 Reform Caucus
Right.
contract rally? And but we decided, no, this was important, that we want to fight for this to be a union event. And I think that's something important to keep in mind, that when you're building a reform caucus, the point is to take action. The point is to, make the union better. And so we said, no, we want to fight for that. And so we had a very lively general membership meeting on this, and there was a lot of back and forth on it. But I mean, at the end of it, the vote wasn't even close, right? And
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah, that's super cool. This last meeting was our first real taste of victory like that, and it
good.
wound up being way more lopsided than I would have expected, because I think when you start making that case, when you start activating people, they see, they feel it, and it makes a difference. And to your point about the caucus has to take action. The caucus doesn't exist to give you people to hang out with at the bar on Saturday or Sunday afternoon. It's to make change at the meetings because that's where the branches run.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things, anytime you get letter carriers together, I think every letter carrier just kind of instinctively knows this. It's time to complain, right?
Oh
I mean,
yeah, sure.
anytime in a social setting, right? People will always complain about, this boss or that boss or, whatever working conditions or, here in Minneapolis with how cold it is. But the point of the caucus, I mean, whoever is chairing it, if you're a leader in there, you have to always be pushing it towards action and towards solution. It can't just be people complaining, right? Because
Right.
then you don't accomplish anything. And that's one of the challenges, is that, because maybe you have an issue where nobody can think of a solution. I mean, if that's the case, then maybe it's just, well, let's move on to something
Right.
that we can think of a solution, towards. Because that should be the point of the caucus, is that we want to act.
Right. And that's the knock on reformers. And we've had, so my running mate Michael and I have had articles mention us, not by name, in our state newsletter. And they talk about how, oh, there's these people on podcasts and they're just complainers and trying to bring divide everybody. Well, they're apparently not listening very closely because we offer solutions and this is what we want to happen. And like when we ran our first campaign, as you know, we're going to have to do the whole thing over again. But in our first campaign, we were the only ticket that actually had a platform of ways, tangible
Great.
ways that we wanted to improve the branch. And so that's the key, and we're taking these tangible steps. And so once you get going, when you run into that resistance from the branch, it's from the powers that be or the good old boys or whoever, the entrenched forces, it's critical to know that you still have tools in your arsenal because who actually runs the branch?
Right. I mean, yeah, the members do,
That's exactly right. And
The
so
power
it,
is with the
yep,
members.
that's right. And so the president acts like he's in charge, or depending on what kind of president you have, but the reality is the members are in charge. And so, something a lot of members may not realize is, like, I didn't realize this when I got fired from the Carrier Academy, that I could have appealed that decision to the branch. It's in Article 11 of the NALC Constitution that if you are dissatisfied with a decision made by a branch officer, you can appeal that to the president. And if you're dissatisfied with the decision made by the president, you can appeal it to the branch. And so you don't have to just roll over and be like, oh, I guess my president's a dick. I'll just eat it.
Right.
No, you can fight back. And that's critical. And then, if you have branch officers who don't want to do what they're required to do, then there's Article 10 for things like that to bring charges against. I mean, man, ideally, you want to avoid that. And that's what we've tried at my own branch. It's like we've brought all this stuff to their attention
Right. Yeah.
and they just don't care.
I yeah, your branch leadership just seems to be pulling out all the stops. I mean,
It's
it's
crazy.
incredible
And
hearing
each
about all
move
the
is
different
more
things.
and more desperate. So I haven't talked about this on the podcast yet, but I'll bring it up now since it kind of came up. A couple days ago, I was filing my quarterly overtime equitability grievance. And I had management had agreed to the amount and we were going to settle. And so I called the union hall to get my grievance number. And my president tells me, you don't need a grievance number. You're not a steward anymore. And dude, I was not expecting that. I mean, I kind of was expecting it, but I said, okay, you fired me as a steward, just like you fired me from the academy. And he goes, no, don't put words in my mouth. So, well, what do you mean? That's what you just told me. And he says, no, your term expired as an alternate steward. And it's madness. That is not a thing. What he's trying to do is because he knows that if he makes a decision to remove me, I can use Article 11 and appeal it to the branch. And he doesn't want that to happen. And so he's saying, oh no, your term expires automatically when like new officers come in. And I know for a fact that's not true because there is another alternate steward in my station whose term ran right
Term does
through
expire.
uninterrupted.
How about
Yeah,
that?
it's funny how that works. And so, yeah, exactly to your point, like each of these violations just gets more desperate, more egregious. And I feel like they're starting to see that the branch is turning. We saw at the last meeting where we won that vote 52 to 23 that people who
That's great.
used to vote with the executive board were either voting with us or abstaining. And it was very satisfying. I think this whole difference between one side is citing the Constitution, citing the bylaws, and the other side is citing, well, I'm the secretary, I can do whatever I want. And I think people are starting to see the difference there.
Well, that is great news, brother. I mean, that
Yeah.
sounds like a real turning point in your branch.
That's what we're hoping. So now let's get back to your story then, because you must have reached a similar turning point. So you have this caucus, you're doing BFM with Tyler and with the other folks who are activists. How does that eventually translate to you running again for vice president and, more importantly, winning?
So let me just do one quick follow-up with
Yeah, please.
the rally that we had in 2023.
Okay.
So we had this vote, we won the vote. The branch leadership had been actively campaigning against doing this rally. And then when it proved so popular and we overwhelmingly won the vote, I mean it was incredible because the branch leadership then basically had no political choice other than to support it.
That's
They were
awesome.
on the organizing committee. They that you know our then president spoke at the rally after saying, "Oh no, it would be a terrible thing. We can't do it."
Right.
It's just an example of when you bring out the rank and file and show the leadership, this is what we're going to do. It can really make some incredible changes.
It's funny, as a leader, you always have that choice. You know, at any point, the leaders of my branch can just be like, you know, maybe we'll just start following the bylaws. But at the
There you
last
go. You can
meeting,
do that.
when we had this super majority vote that went against them, their response, it could have been, all right, I guess we're just going to rerun the election. But instead it was, well, we're not sure if we're going to rerun the election. We're going to try some other. And like, dude, it just keeps going. It's wild. All right, so your branch, they decided they would get along, you know, they would follow the will of the branch. Your branch leaders, okay, we're going to have this rally. All right, to pick it up from there.
Yep. So from there, I mean, we still continued to meet regularly. We still, tried to exert. I mean, it was interesting because at first it was like we weren't winning things, and then we would sometimes win things, we would sometimes not, and then it kind of got to a point where it was just assumed that basically whatever we would want to do, we would get, and
Wow.
it was a really incredible thing. And so then that kind of
So the
built as.
caucus became more powerful than the Good Old Boy Network
Then the you're right. Yep.
in the meetings. Oh, that's amazing. Yep.
And so then as we got to this well this past year in 2024, as we started getting closer to the elections in November, the neat thing was that we had a whole group of people with which to form our slate, our group of candidates that we were going to run together for the executive board. And so, there were people that came and went. There were, some people that we had some ideas about who they would be that ended up changing. But we didn't have to just commit that, oh, this project is just about winning elections. It's about something broader than that. And so it was fine for people to swap in and out. Because we all had this idea as, the goal is to better Branch 9. It's not just that, oh, well, I want to run for this
Right.
position, and you want to run, you want that position that I feel like is kind of the norm across the
Right.
NALC.
Yeah, it's self-serving. It is.
Right. Yeah.
And so if you have this broader mission, like bettering Branch 9, even if you don't win your election, you can still fulfill that mission, or you can still work
Totally.
toward that mission.
Totally,
Right.
totally. And so, yeah, we ran a very successful campaign, all the candidates on our slate won election,
That's
and
amazing.
many of them got in unopposed, including three members of Build a Fighting NALC, myself, Tim Bash, and Tyler Vassar is going to be Branch 9's editor. And we even won, most of us won 2-1. So
Wow.
we've got a mandate,
That is
as they like to
awesome.
say in the political world.
Okay, so now you come in as vice president. So first, let me ask you, what in your branch, what are the duties of the vice president?
So the vice president basically is in charge of training. So
Excellent.
training for the new stewards, doing the stewards board training every month, and oversees the grievance procedure. So I mean, yeah, last year in Branch 9 we had over 2,000 grievances. Not exactly sure how many of those were formal Step A grievances, because there's some resolved at station grievances in there, but a lot of grievances. I know we're not as many as Seattle. They had 5,000,
Oh
which is
my
incredible.
God.
But we've got three full-time Step A's. We're trying to get a fourth. We've got a well-oiled machine when it comes to grievances. I'm proud to say that we're at a 7-day turnaround,
That is amazing.
which has been a huge task, because in 2022 we had hundreds of grievances backlogged. And so that's
Right.
been a really fantastic thing that we've been able to get to. And yeah, I mean, aside from that, the vice president has various other duties about overseeing some of the finances, and assistant editor of the Branch 9 News and things like that. But it's
Right.
a full-time officer position, so anything that the branch is doing, you're going to have a
Yeah,
hand in.
that's very cool. All right, so what are your plans now that you're in? What kind of concrete reforms are you going to make, or what sort of things are you going to do to help further your mission of improving Branch 9?
Right. Well, so one thing is that even though our slate won, we're still going to continue with the Reform Caucus that we have. So we voted not too long ago to become a Build a Fighting NALC chapter, and so we're still going to be meeting regularly. We still want to engage people in those kinds of discussions and to talk about what they want to see out of the branch. We've got some financial things that we got to get straight as far as the branch finances. I've got a lot of ideas about what I would like to see out of the grievance procedure. One of the things that we're dealing with is they're putting people on emergency placement for stationary events, and they're disciplined.
Emergency placement.
And we've got at least earlier this week, we had six people in Branch 9 on EP for
Oh my
stationary.
God.
Yep.
That's wild. What's management's argument? I mean, I guess in the, well, tell me,
Well,
what are they saying?
they know that it's a stretch,
Right.
as far as I can tell. And they I think they know that they're going to lose, but it's just an intimidation tactic. And I'm kind of curious if this is going on in other places, but it's something that they've indicated that they're going to do more of, and that they don't care if they lose it, that if they have to pay the back pay, they just want to intimidate people.
Wow.
And so, I mean, this is something where we could definitely use the support from the national union to push back on this kind of stuff, to say
Absolutely.
that 134 of the M39, where it talks about the management is not just supposed to spy or use
Right.
covert techniques, that they're supposed to do the street observations in an open and above board manner.
Right.
We
The
need that.
scanner can't be the sole reason
Right,
for
exactly.
discipline.
All
Yep,
that
all these
stuff.
things.
Because I want to push back on that, even when it comes to non-disciplinary things. Even if they just say, well, hey, Alan, they're doing the morning go around. Hey, Alan, why were you stationary here 11 minutes? And why were you
Right.
stationary here for 15 minutes? And oh, this isn't going to lead to discipline, but I have to tell my my bosses downtown. I have to answer
Right.
for them. And it's like, you're spying on me. I don't want, I mean, this is the Amazonification of the Postal Service, and we need the whole union to be pushing back on this kind of stuff, because this is not good.
Right. And that's a leadership issue where, exactly as you said, we'd love to get support from national on this. It's something Corey rails on all the time that, okay, we have management is working in concert to put this pressure onto carriers to enact these new policies. The union needs to be doing the exact same thing. And from the top down, yeah, protecting carriers. And it sounds like that's at least at your local level, that is your plan, is to be that kind of leader where everybody's on the
Totally.
same
And
page.
to let people know that we'll have their back 100%.
Absolutely.
The union will be there for you. There've been stand-ups on this, and yeah, people have pushed back. I mean, it's very cold in Minneapolis. I know we were talking about this and joking the other
Right.
day. I mean, I didn't leave my house today. It was negative 14 degrees at certain points throughout the day.
Oh my God.
Air temperature. Right. I was looking tomorrow. At 9 a.m., the air temperature is going to be negative 12. I mean, it's absolutely dangerous. People are getting frostbite on their hands. And management at certain stations in Minneapolis is telling people no more than 5 minutes of a stationary event in weather like this,
That's
right? And
wild.
so it's not just the union at the branch level, winning, taking care of your emergency placement or your, discipline that people are getting. But at the station level, it's critical that people push back on stuff like this because, of course, the stronger carriers are just going to say, F you to management. I'm going to
Right.
take however long I need. But for the carriers that are more intimidated, right, for those stronger carriers to push back on management and say, no, I'm going to warm up for however long it takes so
Right.
that, people don't get bullied into doing something unsafe.
Yeah, and that's where leadership at the station level is so critical because they can make show that example for the weaker, more intimidated carriers, where they can say, like I always do that at my morning stand-ups, that hey, after management talks or before I talk, and I say, hey, this is what your rights are. This is what's going to happen, and management can say that they're going to discipline you for this, but it'll never hold up. And you do the right thing and let management worry about the fallout.
Totally.
You have to take care of yourself. And it's great to have a union where the employees don't have to be afraid of management because they know the union's going to support them.
Exactly.
So kudos to you for that. I'm going to out myself here because I also have not left the house today because it's too cold. It is windy out there and it is right now 48 degrees.
Oh, so
And
cold.
I'm like, dude, I don't
Oh,
have a jacket thick enough to go out in
man.
48 and windy. Hey, how the postal winter gear? Like I had, I'm not going to spend my whole allotment on getting a postal parka, because that takes like the whole allotment.
Yep.
But short of that, like I bought what I thought would be the next warmest jacket, this bomber jacket, and it is not very warm. What do you do to not die when it's cold like that?
Some of the all-weather gear stuff is pretty good. That
Okay.
all-weather gear jacket, the heavyweight one, it's got a shell, and then it has a good bit of insulation, but you have to wear all kinds of layers.
Okay.
I wear a pretty heavy hoodie, and that hood really helps. I mean, I'll wear snowboard goggles, right? My entire face is covered
Right.
on days like that.
Yeah.
Multiple pieces of headgear. I even I my mom a couple Christmases ago got me battery powered gloves,
Oh,
which are
there we
really
go.
fantastic.
But that must make it very difficult to finger the mail.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
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 And
I
then if
mean,
you
it's
put that on your 3996, management pushes back on it.
I told them I put that on there on
Yeah.
Saturday. That just due to the cold weather, it's going to take me longer.
Yeah, right. So one time I was hiking, I'm a hiking group leader here in Vegas. I run a big hiking group and I hike for money on my spare time on Airbnb experiences. I'll take people out to this night hike with a view of the strip in Vegas. And I had this guy from Greenland came to the States on a bucket list trip. And dude, the guy, he was so full of life and had this cool plan where he landed in Los Angeles and he was going to do a tour of all the national parks of the American West.
Oh, cool.
And for a rental car, instead of renting a car for the time that he was here, he bought a 1966 convertible Mustang. And that was a car. And the genius of it is at the end, there's 3,000 more miles on it. He could sell it for the exact same money that he paid for
All
it.
right.
It's genius. So anyway, so I'm picking the guy's brain a little bit. And, I like jackets. I'm kind of into that because I get cold really easily. And so I wanted to know what brands he trusts. And so I said, what, like when you're out there on the tundra, because he told me about going reindeer hunting and sea kayaking. And I said, well, like what brand of jacket do you wear to keep you warm out there? And he says, I wear sealskins. And I said, oh, yeah, I got some socks by that company. They're waterproof. And he goes, no, the skin of a seal. Oh, yeah, I can't get that at REI.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we don't
Yeah.
sell that in at Skaggs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but at least it's miserable like 3 months out of the year there, and then the rest of the time it's not so bad.
You gotta like the winter, right?
Yeah.
I snowboard, I ski, so I don't mind, and It's beautiful when the snow is out.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. Right. I kind of feel that way about the heat. You know, I don't mind when it gets really hot. I can wear a cooling towel. I stay covered up. You learn to live with it. Absolutely. All right, Chris. Thank you very much for coming on. I hope that we have empowered more people out there to take control of their branch, to stand up to the good old boys, and to do what's right for their fellow members. I can't thank you enough for coming on. It has been great talking to you, and I hope to have you back again sometime soon.
Right. My pleasure, brother.
All
Have a good
right,
night.
Chris. Thanks for coming on. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.